Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
How much is the fish, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Football Ramble. Wins for Fulham and Leicester. It's Tuesday, 3rd of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell. Welcome one and all to a terrific Tuesday on the Football Ramble. Wins for Fulham and Brendy Rodgers Leicester. What a show we've got for you today.
You are like a dog with a number of appendages this morning, aren't you? Got your scooter reference in as well at the start.
Cabba! How much is the fish?
Yeah, don't know.
Every minute, every hour.
Yeah.
Find the power, take a shower. Something like that.
Yeah. If you're unfamiliar with the band Scooter, then... Well, you've got a fun afternoon ahead of you.
As you pointed out once, Jim, why are you worried about taking a shower when you're desperate to know how much the fish is
exactly.
costing?
Yeah, the two things don't lend well to each other, do they? Just get down the fishmongers, figure it out,
is
and have a
really
shower later.
The sort of
after you go to the fishmongers for crying out loud.
Is that really the sort of music, Scooter, that you can enjoy inside, though? It's more the sort of music that you enjoy outside.
Yeah.
With a number of other like-minded people.
Yes,
Andy,
I think
so.
I bet you've been to some impressive fish markets, having been a well-travelled man.
Yes. I like Valencia's.
Do you know what? I was thinking... Malaga has got a great one.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It really does. Do you know, Malaga's very underrated because you think of like the old boozy Brits and so on, but they all go to sort of Marbella and Torremolinos. And by the way, it's always worth a little visit to those places just to remember who you are, Jim Campbell.
Right. Yeah.
But Malaga's a fine city. I recommend it. You can't go down, of course.
Really nice. And I have to say, there's nothing better in a Spanish fish market than ordering some fish to take home and cook and being served it by a man with a fish in one hand and a cigarette in the other.
Yeah. Nice. Great.
Well, he's smoking a kipper.
So Malaga has that. Is it got that thing where, you know, all of the sort of the nearby rowdy places are sort of a bit separate from it?
Oh, they're train rides away.
Oh, right. Oh, I see. Yeah. I thought you meant like in the city centre, because Brighton actually has the greatest bit of town planning in the whole of Britain, I'm going to say it, which is where the West Street, which is the street, I think it's called West Street, I've not been there for a while, which is the street where all the people on Stags and Hens go.
Oh, yeah.
You literally walk out of the station, walk down it.
There's
a Wetherspoons, there's a club. Yeah, there's all
it's
these
brilliant
things
down there, Andy.
All the things that, like, they basically suck those people in. So everyone else can just go about with their day. All the boulangerie is kept in that same.
Oh, we have a good laugh at you losers.
Yeah.
Missing out on the strip. Yeah. The Brighton strip.
You do. I bet you do.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. Well, obviously, there were Premier League matches last night, and it's odd to talk about Malaga as we're in November and nobody can travel.
I mean, it's odd to talk about Scooter. we did it.
It's kicking your powder dry, I'd say, you know. But yes, let's go straight to. Our lovely Leicester beating Leeds 4-1. Oh, Brendy was purring. My players were tactically brilliant.
I'd love to hear him purr, like actually purr in that accent.
It's not hard to imagine.
No, it's not.
Is it?
Andy, we were amazing. We've got so many players out and right across the team. It was a really good team performance. I love that. Tactically brilliant. We were amazing. He basically was like, did you see that? We absolutely dicked him.
He's not wrong though, is he?
No, he's not.
They were absolutely superb. Because in the first half, it was arguably the most dominant performance I've seen this season from anyone.
Well, they were fortunate that Bamford missed the chance.
They were. But the fact is that did happen. They went down the other end and scored, and obviously because of a mix-up. But then they had such control of the game from that point that Leeds were making a lot of really sloppy mistakes and looked very uncharacteristically nervous, actually. And they looked a little bit like... They looked like they were trying to avert disaster. Obviously, when Leicester get that second goal, you think it might be all kind of... Might be a difficult afternoon, but then they score really early in the second half. Leeds look on top, but then Leicester just sucker punch them.
Well, Leicester are so devastating on the break.
Yeah, and do you not think like Leicester kind of overwhelmed Leeds a little bit in a way that teams don't tend to really? It's Leeds who do the overwhelming.
They're so fit,
generally, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and I think that you're right. Leeds did really well to come back from that hole and 2-0 and come back into the game. But I think someone when we were talking about it on our WhatsApp group was saying Jamie Vardy's had 3 Red Bulls this morning, and it did feel like that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Probably another 3 at lunchtime as well.
Yeah. Helps him run around like a nut job.
Yeah.
The omelets and the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
If you remember that from a few years ago.
I hope that's still what he does before a game.
I don't know about the Skittles in vodka. Maybe he's off the Skittles. Maybe Rodgers has got him off the Skittles in vodka.
Maybe that's... Yeah, retire from England, stop soaking Skittles in vodka and you'll prolong your career.
I mean, he does look like a...
That doesn't sound very well reasoned to me.
However
he's using him very well because it feels as if he's... making sure he doesn't wear himself out in this early part of the season as well, which is really sensible.
The efficiency of Vardy's game now is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, he's different class. But honestly, I was joking aside, like Brendan Rodgers looks like he has got all the bits between his teeth.
He really does, honestly,
at the end of the game...
What a set of gnashers they are. it's a magnificent set of teeth anyway.
It's all brilliant, but he's properly like hands on hips, like, yeah. No, I mean, it's not me, ladies and gentlemen, this time who's saying they're on the verge. It's him. And who are we?
And it's them.
Yeah, it is.
They're showing it. They're not saying it.
Well, honestly, the figure he cuts, I've not seen this. Obviously, at Celtic, he cleaned up. He was, you know, did a brilliant job up there. Absolutely brilliant. But this kind of figure he's cut, now, I haven't seen it really this side of the border since that Liverpool season when of course they came very, very close. They sort of second in the league just behind Liverpool. I mean, they are playing very well, Andy. The thing is, Leicester do prefer it when teams try and attack them and try and come onto them, which is of course what Leeds do. Played into their hands, they've got a number, what is it, 4 away wins now on the trot, something like that, Leicester. So it is the games, like the home games against West Ham, which got a bit buried with all those other strange results that day, of course.
That's true.
But it was an odd result. So it will be interesting. Can they do? Can they become Leicester's Ranieri's Leicester with all those games they're expected to win? Can you get the 1-0s when it kind of happens? You know.
Well,
and I am talking about them in the title race, by the way.
I love this part of the season. There's always one. Isn't there? Like when you were predicting West Brom for a tilt at the top four because they put a good run together once.
We've moved on from.
Oh, that was a long.
We've
time
moved
ago,
on from yeah. Villa being up for the title.
I never said anyway, that.
I think we moved on from Southampton now as well. Wasn't that was like 2 days ago?
I didn't say that either. I said maybe fourth.
Well, after a Fulham clean sheet, I think the sky's the limit. But we'll come to that in a minute, won't we? But yeah, I think if you're making that comparison with Ranieri's Leicester, as people did at the start of last season, mm-hmm. when they were saying, or the first half of last season, I should say, when people were suggesting that if Leicester were to make the top four mm-hmm. in a post-Leicester championship environment, that would be almost as much of an achievement as the title win, and I would agree with that. Yeah, and given the fact that just everyone imploded mm-hmm. in that Leicester season, all the big boys imploded, and they re-upped afterwards to kind of try and make sure that didn't happen again. Yeah.
That was bad. Arsenal finished second.
Yeah, well, that was the line, wasn't it? You know, only Spurs could finish third in a two-horse race. You know?
But I think even when you look at that, you make that comparison. I just feel that there's absolutely no dispute that Rodgers Leicester are much more entertaining than Ranieri's Leicester.
Well, Ranieri's Leicester,
they're terrific to watch.
Ranieri's Leicester at the start, I mean, it seems sort of pointless to compare, but let's do it. They were at the start of the season, they would always kind of like come back, wouldn't they? They're a bit sort of swashbuckling. Yeah. And then they found themselves actually, that's to diminish obviously what he did, but there were elements of that at the start, and then they sort of grew into the season and they grew into their position. And then, of course, when they got themselves in that magnificent position, they did attack teams going away to Man City and winning, was it 3-1? They were brilliant in that game in particular. And then, of course, it was kind of like, oh crap, we're still top of the league, and we're now in like February, March time. So, okay. How do we? And then it was all the sort of the 1-0s. But this is a very different side. But Rodgers, talking about Rodgers Leicester now, you know, they would have been disappointed, Jim, that they didn't finish in the top four last season. It felt like a little bit of a like a slight disappointment, really.
Oh yeah, because
despite a great
away,
season,
yeah. I mean, obviously the circumstances were not ideal for anyone having that long break. But like, can you imagine someone putting to Rodgers like, "What do you want from this season?" And going 40 points. Like that would be absolutely laughable.
Yeah,
which
shows
you
the did.
Yeah, and not unreasonably at the time.
Do you know what he's
like,
saying
it became
now?
A bit of a joke.
What do you want? Gold medal.
Yeah, exactly. But that's it, isn't it? Shows you the position Leicester are in now, and the context of Leicester themselves is a lot different. And yeah I think there is a good argument that this is a better team when you look at the fact that what happened with Leicester was like a lightning strike. Mm. Wasn't it? It's hard to sort of rationalise that in a lot of ways. And I think he is a very, very tactically astute manager, mm-hmm. Brendan Rodgers, as shown by the fact when they were under the cosh, he brings on Maddison and Under. And it's those players that link up with Vardy for the third goal. And,
oh, what a third goal.
Did Under win the penalty as well? It was they were fantastic. They're absolutely fantastic. That ball from Maddison and the little dink. Little
did he mean
delicate
that?
Dink from Under.
Was he shooting or was he crossing?
I think he meant it.
I really wanted him to have meant it because it was a beautiful goal.
It didn't cross my mind that he didn't mean it.
Yeah. Jim Campbell has spoken.
Yeah. And I'm a lot like Arrigo Sacchi at my knowledge of the game despite not having played it.
But you do sit on the dubious assists panel, don't you?
Yeah, I'm on the dubious panel, yes.
Maddison's, much was made about his involvement in that goal. But I mean, it is that perfect play for that and sort of. If you find yourself, I know there's not too many archetypal number 10s these days, but you know, you can find yourself in that position, Andy. The way he turns like he does, that is a lesson to us all, let alone just the youngsters, Andy.
And they've missed him for a very long time as well. So to have him come back and be important again is a huge
And he was the one failed for the penalty.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can overlook that at the back end of last season when he wasn't available for large parts of it. And that's a huge problem to them. Mm. I think any team missing a player like him is tough because there are so few players like him. But especially for Leicester, who, you know, are upwardly mobile, have built exceptionally well. And I think that's the thing, a bit like, or more so than Pearson for Ranieri, the club set the table for Rodgers. So when he got there, they were ready to go. You know, he benefited from how well run they'd been, the good recruitment of recent times, and that when he got there, and they were ready to take off under him. But I think as well, you have to look at the fact that Cengiz Under is someone who's going to do very well for them.
Underrated signing, so maybe it's gone under the radar.
I think so, and with reason, because he came out of a very good academy in Turkey, Altınordu. He was good at Başakşehir. He started off like a train at Roma.
Yeah.
And then there was just this sort of dip, which I think has really allowed Leicester to get him, basically. Mm. You know, it feels like a good signing, but it feels like someone they need to work on.
When their stock's down, I suppose.
Yeah,
but when you know they've got quality.
And they're blooding him in gradually, I think, which is something that Leicester are very good at. If you go back and look at Çalhanoğlu as well, he's another one. You know, there was that kind of handover between him and Harry Maguire, which I think shows you about Leicester's planning and Leicester's succession planning very well. But to see that little click between Under and Vardy already is very promising.
Mm. Also, as well, the fact they got so much money for Maguire is still standing them in good stead now, because people know that if they want to sign someone from Leicester, it's going to cost you a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Levy was very good at that with Spurs. Like, people hated dealing with Levy, and it helped them hang on to their players. And Leicester have fostered a similar environment there.
I think Leicester, you're right, because obviously Leicester, the Harry Maguire money, but then do you not think they go, come on, we're a little Leicester? Didn't you sell Maguire and win the title recently? Come on, really? Did you really believe all that stuff happened? Yeah, you're right. You're okay. Yeah, take $5 million off the price. Rodgers has said that if we get to March, April, and we are in that position, second, which they currently are, then it will be nice, but there is a long way to go. Do you remember when Ranieri had Andrea Bocelli, was it?
Mm. Yes.
Who's Rodgers going to get? Van Morrison?
I hope not. After his recent
a little bit of black
comments. Fergal Sharkey from the Undertones?
Love it. Teenage Kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right through the season.
In. Of course, his most prominent moment after that was being referred to as Shergle Farkey by a drunk Rodney Trotter in Only Fools and Horses.
Didn't he become like a sort of like Rick Astley-style singer after the Undertones as well, Fergal Sharkey?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, weird.
Oh, that's a bit more Rodgers, I think.
Yeah,
exactly. Imagine Leicester winning the league. Rodgers there. Fergal Sharkey. Teenage Kicks, right?
I can, Marcus. That's the thing. I absolutely can.
If you
bit
don't...
of the Phil Browns.
Yeah, if you don't want that to happen, then up yours, because that'll be absolutely... It'll be so good. What about Leeds United, Jim? They're shipping 4 goals is not great. They've shipped a few here, there and there, but I mean, of course, with Leeds, they look like they're Premier League.
They absolutely do, don't they? I think they're mentally undone a little bit by how early they conceded there, but I can't imagine that's going to happen too often. And it's just what's so impressive about them. Luke sent a graphic around last night on WhatsApp as we were all sort of like remotely watching this together. Mm-hmm. About their fitness and their just commitment to everything. They are top of the stats for sort of pretty much everything fitness and running related.
For now,
and
Jim.
For now, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Bielsa's no mug, is he? He knows how to maintain these sort of things, or to at least like spread out. He'll know not to burn his team out this early.
You say that. I think...
Can you teach old Bielsa new tricks?
Could there be any team that benefited more from lockdown than Bielsa's Leeds?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I did some of the stuff in translation with Beals obviously gets a little bit lost, but I love the more literal translations of the beautiful way he speaks, saying, I didn't distribute the players properly on the pitch. I love that sort of distribution, you know what he means, but it's such a lovely way of sort of having it in English. Gentlemen, can we talk about Fulham?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Oh my goodness, it was a good win.
Did you pay for the game?
Did I bollocks? Every Fulham game is on bloody pay-per-view.
Of course it is. And let's be honest, they are, I mean...
Box office, aren't they?
They struggle to fill the stadium. Like
literally, they are box office.
Yeah, it's the first time that's ever been true, isn't it?
Up yours and all. Good goals, we only score good goals.
Yeah, and that's why you're going down.
Well, I don't know, 3 points off Man United.
How much would you pay for an Ola Aina goal like that?
Well, it was priceless, hadn't
it? That's the question.
You couldn't put a price on it. What a finish it was.
I actually think, joking aside, if Fulham can just play other teams who are struggling to adapt to the Premier League, it might be all right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So snarky. Just because Arsenal are safe for another season. Yeah, but it was a huge win for Fulham, especially this game. I mean, it was...
And a good win, too.
It was a good win. I mean, rode their luck a couple of times, obviously. But Andy, you know, it was fairly convincing in the end. You know, they got their 2 goals. They took... Well, one of the, I mean, you wouldn't say the second one was a chance, you know.
No.
In the expected goals, it would be harsh if that was put in that bracket. But they took their chances. They rode their luck when West Brom missed a glorious chance when Fulham, and they remembered they're quite a polite club and said, oh, sorry, we should give you a chance.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, West Brom, it was put wide. But Parker will be very pleased with that. And there's been a bit of a sea change at Fulham. In the early stages of the season, they looked terrible. They looked so disorganized. Like it was, I mean, I remember, you know, even I said it, I was like, bloody hell, Derby County, thinking, could someone take our unwanted record from us, you know? But the game, you know, because you remember Brentford in the League Cup, was it? I mean, it's 3-0. Yeah. It was embarrassing. But when they went to, I think it was a game against Wolves, they went away to Wolves, they lost 1-0. Missed a chance late on for 1-1.
Wolves didn't really create a lot in the first half of that particularly, did they?
No, they didn't. No. And I know Wolves weren't going through a great spell then. They've sort of picked it up a bit since then. But it was that game I thought, oh, hang on a minute, there's something here. Then
the first game in which Fulham looked really organised, wasn't it?
Exactly.
And I think that is, I agree, I think that's a big turning point. And they look organised in this. And
Sheffield United, I know Sheffield United missed one or two chances early on, but yeah. But ultimately, when you look at the game in stages, it's 1-1. Mitrovic has got a free header 7 or 8 yards out in injury time. I mean, that could have been a win.
I think even if you're Scott Parker, I'm not even convinced that detail's important. Mm. I think...
But the fact is, it was a point away from home. They looked like they could compete.
The fact that they've looked like a proper team for a few weeks now is really important. And especially when you consider that last time in the Premier League, they really struggled to bed in new signings. Mm-hmm. All those new signings have started to make a contribution. And I think that's really important.
Well,
I
mean, the keeper and back four were all new signings this year.
Yeah, and the team now, the team that beat West Brom, mm-hmm. is very different personnel-wise to the one that actually started the season. So that's a step on for them. You know, I'm not going to say they're going to stay up or anything like that, but it's a good start. And if you're them, you need to be building these sort of mini runs and building positivity and building strength from that. But, you know, a lot of these new players chipped in. Joachim Andersen, I'm prepared to admit.
Well, Andy, you and I had a tweet from a chap called Chris saying, I hear Joachim Andersen is dedicating that clean sheet on his debut to Andy Brassel.
Tom Cairney very nearly scored another beauty, didn't he?
Oh, Jim, that would have been such a...
Wouldn't it? And it's funny because the clearance off the line was a thing of beauty as well, but... The goal would have been better, wouldn't it?
It would have been. I'm surprised Deco Dover-Reed, who's chipped in with a couple of goals already this season. I'm sort of surprised. I know he lashed it. Handball?
It's a funny one. That
I think it's a handball.
I thought that should have been a penalty.
Because it's... I know that it... You know, I guess this is taking issue with the rule and the sort of nuances of the rule, but like, you can't argue that West Brom haven't gained an advantage there, can you? He stopped it going in, whether he's meant to or not.
He has literally put his hand up to stop it. There's no other way of looking at it. And the rule is, each change, I think you really have to hand it to IFAB, the fact that every change to the handball rule makes it more complicated.
It does. It creates
the last one.
New grey areas, doesn't it? It's a tough thing to do. I'm not in charge of doing it.
We're going to be talking about index fingers and pinkies by the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
fingernails. Get your fingernails long.
Maybe the future is just like, it's down to the interpretation of each referee. So everyone's looking at the team sheet going, they're not even looking at who, like, Man City have got in their midfield.
They're looking at the referee.
It's Mike Dean. We're screwed. We're absolutely screwed.
No tackles.
Yeah.
Don't put in a tackle today. Just block. That's all we've got to do. But, I mean, it's just as well Fulham were 2-0 up because it didn't make any difference.
No.
If that game's poised and that happens, oh, I'm going to be angry, Andy. That's what I'm going to be. But, of course, it was a nice 2-0 victory anyway.
It was.
But a win makes such a difference. You know, they're 17th now and very much would take that come the end of the season. But Parker, he said, there's been a lot of narrative around us because of the money we spent last time, but there has been a single-mindedness about us this season. Defeats are going to happen, but they can't bury us. And you do think with Parker, I know sometimes he looks like he's going to burst into tears, Jim, in post-match interviews.
He does, doesn't he?
But some of the stuff he's saying, it's kind of like, right, let's stay focused, let's stay level-headed. And they could have panicked after those first few games of the season. Mm. I mean, I was panicking. But he does sometimes have an air of calm about him. He always has an air of calm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he has to have that, doesn't he? He's got to translate that to his players, because the problem is, you know, they were so bad when they went down
couple of seasons ago, and it was that almost seems unfair. It's they weren't quite ready to be in the league, were they? And like the plan that was enacted for signing all those players didn't quite work. They are haunted by that. You can see that, and there's been a lot of talk about how they've not learned from the mistakes of that. So it's on Parker to fix that because it seems like, you know, he's not getting help from within the structure of the club that he needs in that. So he's got to lead by example, isn't he?
And that's
he's
a lot on that. A young manager, isn't it?
It really is.
Well,
yeah.
It is. But compare his post-match interviews when they were beat to say Slaven Bilic's last night. Bilic looked, you know, he looked gutted.
He really did, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he was, you know, I mean, again, how much does a post-match interview really matter in the grand scheme of things, et cetera, et cetera? But, West Brom are one of those sides, Andy, that, you know, if you'd be concerned. I mean, look, it's only a win for Fulham, you know. Fulham fans will still be concerned, of course, in the season when they look at it as a whole, but West Brom will.
Oh, I think it's huge because I think you look at this game from the off and it had a feeling of, like, win or go home, which is ridiculous, really, half a dozen games into the season.
Of course.
But it did feel like that with how badly these two teams have started. And now everyone will be looking at West Brom. We've talked about how Bilic has been unhappy with a few things as well in the last couple of weeks. It's something we've talked about on here, and I think people will be watching him very closely over the next little while to see how it progresses. I mean, I think he's the favourite to be the first coach to go at the moment, isn't he?
Well, they'll always catch the eye with that away kit of theirs, Andy, won't they?
It's a beauty.
All right, gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/ramble.
Wrestle Me is a show where two men watch every WrestleMania from 1 to 37, unpicking the multicoloured threads that tie it all together.
I think it's slightly something to do with the fact that Americans don't really like cell phones, do they? Right. I think they've all got basic ones, basically.
That's a big shout.
It is a big shout, but I mean, there is something funny about it, like text messaging never took off in the States.
What? Come on now.
Never been big.
Whether you're a lapsed fan or someone who doesn't give a flying laureate about it, there's something for everyone.
If you can get a crowd to boo you for kicking a fabulous ladder.
Fabulous ladder.
And the crowd are booing.
Yeah. Off that lovely ladder we've just learned about.
It's a beautiful polysexual ladder.
It's a beautiful Herne-based shabby chic creation.
If you climb up to it, ecstasy can be found at the top.
Listen via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods.
Wrestle Me is a Staccano production.
I'm quite a placid guy.
Aren't we all, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Now, you lucky things, it's time for this. Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done. Well done to Jack Byrne. He is one of those lucky people who's getting his email read out by me. Hi, Ramblers, over decade-long listener. Oh, God bless you, Jack. First-time emailer here who felt compelled to finally get involved due to the mere mention of my beloved League of Ireland on the show and the email about the unimpressed commentator's description of a misplaced pass as yellow snow stuff. Such examples of the weird and wonderful have been a frequent occurrence across the league down the years and are as much as a reason for fans' love for it as the relatable level of football often on display. So much that the definitely not ironic title of the greatest league in the world hashtag was bestowed upon it by fans and has been used since. Such examples of wonderful stuff from the League of Ireland include Waterford Town starting a game against UCD with 10 men because one of their players was stuck in traffic. After 5 minutes, with no sign of said player, they subbed on a man for the absentee. What? Start him? Yeah, or maybe there's. I suppose they maybe have the rules about, you know, an hour before kickoff you got to get the ticket. I don't know, but anyway, he was subbed on. But of course, the man who was stuck in traffic, they subsequently weren't allowed to bring on in the second half because, according to the referee, he hadn't been in the ground at kickoff. So that's a lesson for everybody.
Guess that's
there.
That's a rule.
Alan Byrne of Bohemians forgetting to bring his shirt to a game, so he had to borrow one from a fan in the crowd. That is brilliant. Love that.
Imagine, like, Timo Werner's got to bring his own kit. Like, love it.
But then, of course, getting one from a fan in the crowd.
Yeah, perfect.
I'd love it if the fan had Byrne, you know, whatever his number was, in the back as well. You'll do.
I like the thought of Timo Werner borrowing one from a man in his 50s who's, you know,
oversized.
Seen a bit of life, let's say.
Eaten a bit of life.
Yes.
Jack was on to say, my beloved St. Patrick's Athletic, drawing IBV of Iceland in 2012 Europa League qualifier, and having to ask supporters to kindly give up the rooms they had booked in the only hotel on the small island off the mainland that the game would be hosted at, as otherwise there would be no way the team would be able to stay together on the trip. Oh dear.
Where did they go?
Yeah, well, it was, as it says, a small island off the coast of the mainland of Iceland, so there's only one hotel in the...
No, that's what I mean. Where did the displaced fans go?
Well, I don't know. Mm. All in the same room, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Iceland's very flat. I think it would be fine for camping.
It's quite cold, though, isn't it?
I was about to say.
No, but we're talking about... Come on, fellas. We're talking about a Europa League qualifier. That summer.
Which is always roasting in Iceland,
true,
isn't it?
True.
Summer in Iceland, it'd be nice.
Okay,
maybe. Just don't pitch on a geyser and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Or actually, maybe...
Oi, don't pitch on a geyser!
Pitch near enough one that it's warm, right?
Yeah, you got to get that just right. Yeah,
safety officer really Jim Campbell there.
Imagine.
Yeah,
oh God.
You can pitch next to the geezers. Jim, you wouldn't last long in that job. So there we are. Thank you very much for your email, Jack Byrne.
Mm, Jonathan Rapley's been in touch as well. He says, hello, Ramble, long-time listener, first-time email, a lot of that going around, our emailer. In July 2011, I was flying back from Detroit to Malaga.
Via
a connection at Paris, Charles de Gaulle Airport. As I finally reach my gate, after frantically rushing through the maze that is Charles de Gaulle, I take a seat, only to discover that the person to my right looks very familiar. It was none other than England manager Fabio Capello.
Oh, hello.
I saw that he was wearing a fancy, expensive looking watch, which confirmed to me he wasn't the lookalike that was pretty popular at the time. Imagine that. Are you that lookalike? I went up to him and got an autograph and uttered one of the most regrettable sentences I've ever said. Maybe you should play Stuart Downing now that you're signed for Liverpool.
Oh.
He smiled, nodded and muttered yes, yes. As I recall, Downing went on to score 2 goals in 46 games in the following season for Liverpool and in fact did play a handful of games for England. Perhaps Mr. Capello shouldn't have taken this advice from fans when meeting them at international airports. Keep up the good work, Ramble. Love the pod. We love you too.
Yeah, we do. My goodness, Capello's England. I just think of that Algeria game, the 2010 World Cup.
Oh, mate.
My mates and I, we were meant to, I wrote this in the foreword for the Ramble, but we were meant to go to a friend's birthday party after that. And we all just sat about and we're like, we don't have the energy to get up and
awful.
Go to it.
Just awful.
How bad is that? Oh, nice mention for Malaga again though, Andy.
Beautiful. The Malaga pod.
The Malaga pod. Get it in there. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. That was the emails. Just email show at football. I should say that a lot of you got in touch with me regarding the sad death of Sir Sean Connery, of course. Mm. Found a story about when Gennaro Gattuso was playing for Rangers. Apparently Connery was trying to convince him to stay. When his Gattuso was talking about that. Apparently Connery was on the board at Rangers. I always thought, of course, that he should have been on the board at Boca Juniors. Right, there we are.
Let's move on.
Give the people what they want, quite frankly, Jim.
Oh, God.
Big news in West London that Petr Cech is very ready to play for Chelsea. Again, of course, a number of weeks ago, he was put in the Chelsea Premier League squad by Frankie Lampard. But he's come out and said that, you know, I'm feeling fit, I'm raring to go. What is he, 39? Mm. Not the oldest keeper that's played. He hasn't played this season, of course, but he wouldn't be the oldest keeper.
I'm thinking of the last international break. I'm thinking of Bosnia and Ukraine.
But they didn't get a run out, though, did they?
No, they didn't. Probably because they couldn't actually get up off the bench once they were sat on it.
Sure, I should say, they didn't get a walkout, did they? You think of Steve Agrusovic, for example.
Yeah.
Big Johnny Burridge. Brad Friedel?
How old would Brad Friedel?
Oh, I think Friedel
might have played at 40.
Yeah. He was operating at a good level. Mark Schwarzer as well. Mm. He didn't play sort of that much in the twilight, but kept himself in great nick.
I mean, I feel like having four goalkeepers... Mm. Which they do,
yes.
with Kepa, Caballero, Cech, and obviously Mendy being in there as first choice. Does that seem almost paranoid?
Well,
it's a lot, right? I mean,
yes.
What happens if, like, you know, heaven forbid, both Mendy and Caballero are injured? If it's between Cech and Kepa and Cech gets the nod?
I mean, that is damning, Andy, because, I mean, he's in the 25-man Prem squad. So it's not like it's a 40-man squad. You know, this is...
No.
I know one could say 25 is quite a lot, but you think about the squad Chelsea have. You know, you would have usually, say, three goalkeepers in there, you would think.
And Cech is not in there for his drumming skills, is he?
No.
And I think the interesting thing is, what happens to Kepa from here, as Jim says? Mm. I mean, does he become the new Jamal Blackman, who's on the books for absolutely ages, but never plays for Chelsea because they can't get rid of him anywhere?
Yeah.
And if they did want to get rid of him, never mind the huge loss that there would be in terms of transfer fee, you look at the wages, he's nigh on impossible to get rid of in this environment. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what can they do? And also, if they completely ostracise him... That totally writes off the money, doesn't it?
Oh yeah,
they've got to find this balance between having a goalkeeper who's going to do a good job for the first team, and yet basically not binning what is quite an expensive asset. Mm. It's tough, isn't it?
They've got to be careful not to run his value down further as well, haven't they?
Yeah,
because,
totally.
I mean, Kepa's not. I mean, it got to a point where it was ridiculous, like where he was just a liability for them, and it's similar. Do you remember? You know, the joke on the show has been like he doesn't make saves, which is ridiculous, and it is. But do you remember Claudio Bravo was in a very similar situation at Man City, where it was the stats were like he doesn't actually save the ball, which is really really strange. But neither of those goalkeepers are like, you know, like
well, Bravo
ice
was
cream men posing as footballers.
But,
you know,
Bravo
I mean?
Was a Barcelona
footballers, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know how this happens, but they've got to somehow get his value up without playing him.
That's essentially it. I mean, because. It's not a case of you sign Mendy, who again is not the kind of, he's not an archetypal number one goalkeeper, as we've mentioned on the show. And it's not like you're bringing in somebody who is, you know, maybe early 30s, but has had a particularly good career or somebody. This is a goalkeeper who has been a number two for a bit. So Kepa can feel a little bit like he's, you know, he has his nose put out of joint there. But then when you get Petr Cech coming in as well, it's also damning on Willy Caballero because he's obviously got very little faith in him. And then Cech starts commenting on Mendy saying, yeah, obviously he's good, but, you know, he can improve, he can do this, that and the other. And you think, well, hang on a minute here. It seems like the number one position's up for grabs, but if you are Kepa, you would think, blimey, you would feel quite humbled and humiliated.
And I think the thing is with Mundy is his Czech's pick. That's the thing we have to point out.
Right.
Because he's come from Rennes, where Cech has a very long relationship with them, of course, came from there himself.
Well, they're playing Rennes in the Champions League this
year. Yeah, he brought his goalkeeping coach, Christophe Lolichon, with him in the first place. And he's never sort of taken his eye away from there. So there's never been any suggestion that Cech hasn't had a huge hand in Mundy's signing. And I sort of think from both a Chelsea and actually probably a Kepa perspective, I think that the best way you can look at it is Cech being there, actually in the squad, is going to help Mondi. It's going to help.
Is it going to help Kepa?
Well, I think
in theory,
I think the signing of Mondi kind of helps him in a way, as we said, because it's not like they've gone out and spent another 80 million on a goalkeeper who you're never going to get past. You know, there is a sense that there's been competition. You know, it's competition as much as it is replacement. And the fact is, it's going to be a long road back for Kepa. I don't think anyone can be in any doubt about that. But on the other hand, Mondi, who's responded brilliantly, he's been amazing since he's arrived.
Clean sheets galore.
It's not completely insurmountable for Kepa to get to a point where he competes with him and maybe gets another.
Well,
goal.
I think that's what everybody wants at Chelsea. Yeah. Surely. But what I mentioned the clean sheets there. I mean, Chelsea, you know, just a little mention on that. You know, they've turned it around quite a lot, haven't they? I mean, they were shipping goals. People saying, "Oh, they can't defend," and all the rest of it, but Lampard is turning them round in that department.
Mondi and Thiago Silva are. I think.
Yeah, they've signed them though. They take credit.
That's made a huge difference, I think. And you know, a little bit of confidence has gone a long way. But I think the great thing with Thiago Silva, who obviously wasn't fit enough, certainly at first, him getting up to speed really quickly is something that's part of his makeup.
We had rude awakening at West Brom with that mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, a mistake like that can happen to anyone, can happen to any footballer in the world. And I just think with him, he's so able to get into match condition quickly. And he's proved that throughout his career when he's been out through injury, he's come back with very little training and played in big matches and done it. You know, I would have backed Thiago Silva to do that, and his start's been really promising.
There we are. Gentlemen, let's turn our attention to a game this evening. Of course, we've got Champions League, but we're not talking about that old tosh, Andy. Wimbledon!
You're barring me from... Oh, I was going to say you're barring me from talking about Atalanta versus Liverpool, but if it's Wimbledon, it's fine.
AFC Wimbledon tonight, ladies and gentlemen. They return to Plough Lane for the first time in 30 years? Something like that?
Yeah, 29.
29 years. Yeah. For those who are unaware of this sort of history and legacy, I mean, I'm sure a lot of football fans will be aware of this, but this is huge. Mm. And you're an AFC Wimbledon fan as well, so it's absolutely massive, you know. And you're going tonight as well. I've no doubt we'll sort of mention it tomorrow. But this, talk about the romance of football and so on and so forth. I know the fans aren't going to be there. And Ivor Heller, one of the guys who's one of the big wigs.
The commercial director. Yeah.
Commercial director said, you know, the stadium won't be fully open until the fans are. You do understand it. But the fact is, AFC Wimbledon are going to be playing back at Plough Lane tonight. Yeah. Glorious.
And it is regrettable that the fans aren't going to be there. It's sad. Because the fans have put the club there, you know they've helped create the club and they've helped raise the money when there was an £11 million shortfall.
For a moment, I thought you said Dave helped create the club there. It's like this is on one specific fan, is it? one super fan.
No, the TV channel.
We're all
Dave.
Called Dave, actually.
but surely those fans, though. Yes, it's a great shame they're not going to be there. But that's obviously taken out of everybody's hands.
We've waited 29 years.
Yeah,
we can wait a few more months.
Well, this is Liverpool-esque with the title, you know. Yeah, I'm sure that yes, the fans won't be there for the parade, but you know they'll. But will they not find some consolation, Andy, that you, AFC Wimbledon's most famous supporting fan off the top of my head, is going to be in the stadium? Well,
thanks for drawing that target on my back. I really appreciate it. Yeah, if I do make it there, it'll be a special moment. Not as special as if it was full, but just to see the team back home. And to know that the fans have brought the team back home, it's pretty
it's been
fantastic.
Such a long journey.
Yeah, it really has. And of course, the first couple of weeks of this season, while they've been getting Plough Lane in serviceable condition, we've been sharing at QPR, which sent a little shiver down my spine because, of course, when Wimbledon, the reason Wimbledon was so vulnerable in the first place is because they came up the league so quickly. So we were essentially playing in the top flight from 1986 in what was a non-league ground. So my first couple of years of supporting Wimbledon, it was all about fighting off potential mergers with Crystal Palace and Queen's Park Rangers. So seeing a Wimbledon team play at Loftus Road, while I'm very grateful for QPR's hospitality, did make me think a bit, whoa.
Yeah.
What could have been?
What a strange situation as well. I can't even fathom the idea that, like, some other club might try and absorb you. It's pretty unique.
It is strange.
Concern, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and so out of kilter with English football. And I think what Wimbledon have been through, and are hopefully coming to the end of course, they've got a long way to build from here, is a reminder of, you know, we've always said it could be your club. You know, there are unscrupulous people, unfortunately, in charge of a lot of clubs. And I think particularly when you look at the financial vulnerability of a lot of clubs in the situation that we're in the world at the moment, it needs to be a little reminder, yes, that fans can do it. Yes, that fans can get together and work collectively and do things that no one believed they could do. Mm-hmm. But it's also a little reminder that, you know, clubs are susceptible to vultures. And I think we've got to be really careful about that at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And so do the security when you turn up, Andy, tonight. but there is a bit of romance in football still. Love that. Absolutely love that. I also love this, talking to robots of football. A chap called Sam tweeted me, Apoel Mikosia, with Mick McCall getting the job.
Apoel Mikosia.
Yeah, I know they talked about it yesterday, but my goodness, I had to get my mensch. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been such a steaming success today, ladies and gentlemen. I know you all agree that on tomorrow, it's the same again.
Yep.
Jim, Andy and I will be back to talk about AFC Wimbledon only. That's all we're going to
do. I'm in.
I thought that's what was stipulated in your contract. We needed to get you, Andy.
Exactly.
But we may talk about the Champions League happenings as well, if you're lucky. Thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you all tomorrow.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.